for those who are new, my name is Sias. I'm sort of the outreach pastor. I don't know what I am, but I encourage people just to have church outside of church. So we do wild stuff here in the church because he's doing wild stuff all across the world. Can somebody say amen? So I'm a bit tired because we've just come yesterday from a trance party. How many of you have been at a trance party? Okay, now, like, okay. And some guys have just come back, but it's where people just have a great party. They use lots of drugs and it's just lots of stuff. And we have a booth there. We pray for people. We call it the spiritual reading, cleansing, physical healings, and soon to be dream interpretation booth. Okay. And people just come because they're seeking. Because do you know what? God is moving, not just in buildings, but wherever we go, because the kingdom of God comes inside of us. Scripture says that the kingdom is in you. It's love, joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. And I want to challenge us here at the beginning of the year, before we're going to listen to the arrows and jump up and down, because God is not a God of boxes. Did you know that? And especially as jy nou Afrikaanse goeie boerseun was, soos wat ek was, dan kom jy hierso en dan sit jy miskien hierso en dan denk jy, oh my gonna, daai mense lig hulle hande op in die kerk. Die eerste keer wat ek in die kerk was soos hierdie, was daar sulke rooi gordyne achter. En ek het so gesweet, die sweet het my so afgeloop, dat, want ek het gedink hulle maak die mense dood achter daai gordyne. Ek het al my sondes bely. Ek het vir die Here gesê, Here, ek wil U dien vir die res van my lewe. Here, ek sal teologie gaan swat. Here, ek sal enigiets doen as ek net lewendig uit hierdie plek uit kan kom. Dit is amazing, die volgende week was ek weer daar. En toe kom ek achter, nee, daar gebeur 'n paar dinge daar. En daarom is daar net te vrymoedig. Ons is nie casual of familiar met God nie, familiaar nie. But we just free. Because this is our daddy's house. And Jesus wanted to teach his disciples some stuff. Let me read it. Matthew 14:25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was, whatever that means, boisterous. Can somebody say that? Byron, come here, quickly. Come pronounce this word for me. Okay, he's the coolest first year around. He was afraid and beginning to sink, and he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." This is now with a Gauteng accent.
Boisterous.
Woo! Okay. At the end of the year, we're all going to be blonde, eh? He's very cool. Okay, let's get back to the scripture. And Peter answered, verse 20, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Okay, I've got a question, and if that's the only thing you remember, remember that. Okay, are you here for comfort, a career, or for a calling? Okay, comfort, career, or have you been called? Turn to someone next to you and say, comfort, career, or calling? Okay. Did you see, the people next to you, they're still smiling very nicely, eh? You see, when we come to God, many people, you've maybe come here and you've chosen for yourself a career and you said, "I'm going to be a this." I just knew I was not going to be an engineer, so I decided I'm going to study BREC. How many of you BREC-ers here? Okay? Yeah, lekker. But because I didn't know what else to study, but I decided BREC it will be. But the most amazing thing is when you understand that you've come here to Varsity for one purpose is because there's a calling of God on your life. And this is what Jesus wanted to teach the disciples, because the disciples were good fishermen. And they knew how the sea worked. They knew how everything worked. And right here in the middle of the night, 3:00 in the morning, actually, Jesus comes walking on the sea because there's a massive storm. The boat is almost sinking. They're panicking. Everything is going wrong. They're screaming. They're doing everything. They're just saying, well, here we're going under. And now suddenly this ghost appears. Somebody comes walking on water. Now just imagine this. 3 o'clock in the morning, you are tense. You're throwing all your toys out of the cot, out of the boat or whatever. And you're sort of losing it. And right here comes this ghost. This thing walking on the water. And we always judge Peter a little bit. But Peter, do you know Peter? Peter was just, he was an amazing guy because he had passion. And so he decided, well, he's going to go. He's going to jump out of the boat, but with a specific thing. Let's read just quickly Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. And now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. So Mark sees it a bit differently. He says, Jesus didn't just come to walk to them. Jesus was actually walking by, past the boat. Jesus was on a mission somewhere. And he was going past them, but now Peter decides, well, look here, God, I understand one thing. I'm not going to sink in this boat. Because, do you know, the boat represented their comfort, the place where it was nice, where it's easy, where they know, because they're fishermen. And so many times when you come to study or you come to do stuff, you say to God, God, well, you God, you the spiritual one, but please don't be involved in my natural life. But, you know, God doesn't work like that. God knows everything about you. Did you know that? Hello. Yes. Okay. So Jesus was on his way walking by the boat, and Peter says to him something specifically. He didn't ask him, Jesus, give me 5 promises so that I can survive in the boat. Please, Jesus, help me. He said, Jesus, command me to come to you. Because Peter understood that if Jesus calls him, he can do anything. He can walk on water. Hello. Every night when I bath, I don't bath very often. Just like once a week, like many students here, like once every 3 weeks. I shower more. Some of you just don't bath at all during your studies here, but that's all right. you know, there's nothing like what is Mitchum. Mitchum can last for 4 days. but the most amazing thing is, you know, when I stand in the bath, I think, well, I'm going to walk on water. I practice every night to walk on water. Did you know that? Because since a boy, since 9 years old, I will read this story and I will still believe in my life, I'm going to walk on water. How many of you are going to join me? Ah, okay. We're going to have a Walking on Water Ministry International. Okay, something like that. Okay. But very simply, it's about obedience. It's about a call, because Peter understood if Jesus calls him, then it doesn't matter what the facts is, there's always truth. Truth overrides facts. And when we know that, you know, it's like, let's use an example. I used this example this morning. Who wants to be a guinea pig? Nardis, come so. Stani so. Okay, Nardis has got a beautiful yellow shirt on. Can you see that? Huh? Can you see the yellow shirt? How many can see that he's got a yellow shirt on? You're lying. Oh, you're forgiven. Okay. But see, if I say he's got a yellow shirt on, all of you will tell me that I'm a liar. But you know, the amazing thing is if Jesus would walk in here tonight and he would tell you and he would say, Nardis has got a yellow shirt on. Do you know when he says that, when he speaks that word, that shirt will turn yellow? Because that is the truth. The truth always overrides facts. And that's why when God says you can walk on water, thanks Nardis, let's give him a round of applause. Okay? So when God calls us, he enables us. Say, when God calls me, he enables me. Met ander woorde, God gee vir jou die vermoë om dit te doen waarvoor hy vir jou roep. Okay. So, we need to look to Jesus. We need to say, Lord, I want you to call me, because you know, many people think that God is like, God is up there. He's this old man with a stick. He's like a really weird man and he's very sin conscious. God has got like this black book and he just wants to judge me and he wants to tell me how wrong I am. And then he's got these massive standards of holiness and don't get near him because there's a panic button in heaven. Did you know that? Whenever you sin, there's this massive red panic button that the angel, the seraphim pushes, like the knob goes on and then the alarm goes on. Pity as sin, the pity as sin. And then the angels come to cover God's face with these massive wings, because there's sin in the house. There is sin that needs to be repented of, because otherwise he's going to be destroyed. And then everybody trembles because, oh, Johannes, and Johannes finally done, you know, Johannes, oh my God, you know, and then we think, well, God is going to strike us with lightning. But you know, when God calls, God walks into your life, onto the water, in the area where you think you're the best at. And he comes to tell you, look here, I want you to come out of your comfort zone. I want you to taste the ability to overcome. And that is the greatest thing with God. God is not a sin-conscious God. God is not a spoil-me God. God knows exactly what he's doing. But you know, there's a cost involved. The cost of getting out of the boat is a risk of potential failure, embarrassment, criticism, and even death. Because one of the greatest things that we see in this world is fear. And that is what these disciples had to overcome. The fear of sinking. The fear of not making it. The fear of rejection. The fear of failure. But you know what? When Jesus stands on the water and Jesus calls you, it's safer with Jesus on the water than in the boat. Hello. But we love our comfort zones. Would you agree with me? Everything these days are just remote, and you can switch on. You get, you know, you can sit on the toilet and you can have TV in the toilet and remote on the toilet, and everything will clean you even on the toilet, and just everything remote, you know, close the windows, close the curtains, everything is just remote. The more easier, instant, nicer it is, the quicker we get it. But you know, we love our comfort zones. But the reason for that is very simply because our world is driven by fear. And when you read of the tsunamis and you read of the water coming and the floods and all of that stuff, do you know, Jesus said that it's going to happen. Because we're living in the last days and we're going to see many people tremble with fear, Scripture said. But there's always going to be an opportunity to step out on the water, even in the midst of your trouble. Because that's always where God calls. God calls you in the midst of a time of change. If you're a first year, yeah, it's a time of change for you. And then at a night like tonight, God would say to you, I've got my hand on your life. I've called you not just to come and study. You must study, and you must study excellently, because that's worship unto God. Did you know that? Hello. Hello. When you, oh my God, now daar kom die geest van condemnation oor 'n paar mense. Okay. Whatever we don't do it for a boss or to get a little paper, a degree at the end of the year. No, very simply, we do it because we serve an almighty God. We worship him with our studies. We worship him with everything. But you know, there's a trust thing involved. Let me read this, Proverbs 3 verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, there's lots of world wisdom and understanding and things, but there's a place where God comes to stand before you and he says, are you willing to trust in me? It's like I've got three children. My little boy is three, and every time, you know, he cannot swim. He thinks he's like Rick Nietling. He thinks he can swim, but he's just there on the first steppy there in the swimming pool. And he, you know, then he goes up and down. Then sometimes he runs over, then I'm in the swimming pool, and then he's standing there on the side. And then he wants to jump, and then every time he must take a risk. Every time there's a trust thing involved, and every time there's something involved of letting go. And you know, that is what comfort zone does. That is what a careerist does, is we love just to have a little career and sometimes maybe make it. But you know, if you're motivated by fear, you can never taste the ability to overcome. And that's why when you stand on that edge of that swimming pool, like that little, my Josh, the three-year-old boy, and then he says, Daddy, I want to jump. Bye-bye. Kom ek. And I'm standing net a bit too far. I'm just standing a little bit too far. And then he says, closer. Closer. You know? And I stand close. And then I just go a little bit. And he says, no, you're too far. Just closer, closer. You know? And then the next moment, you can just see. Then all this stuff goes through. He thinks about, did I drop him? Did I drown him like 3 days ago? Did I leave him? No. He can actually trust. And then there's this moment that he just like. And then he goes. Then he lets go. But you know, it's like that feeling of not being in control. You sort of just, and some of you first is, you feel like that. You feel like, oh my God, Marty Land has driven all over me the last week. You don't know what they've come. But you know what? In the midst of all this stuff happening in your life, God comes and he says, I've called you. Just like Jeremiah. Did you know he said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I've called you by name. I've made you. I've called you before your mother even knew you. I've made you. know, at the end, Psalm 118 verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Don't put your confidence in man. Don't put your confidence in where you come from, but trust in God. And then at the end, what Jesus does is Jesus steps into the boat and all the, there's calm and there's like lots of stuff happening. And then suddenly there's this moment with the disciples. This wasn't like to impress anybody. Jesus just wanted to teach his children something. And he says to them, oh, you of little faith. He says, if you only could believe, if you have got little faith, he says. Now, normally when we read that, then we think, oh, my chona, we all have little faith. How many of you think like that when we read something like that, you know? We sometimes, especially for ons Afrikaners, ons het altyd hierdie negatieve vrees, ons sit hard druk op onsself. But you know what it actually means? That word for, oh, you of little faith just means, oh, if you could only have more confidence in my word. Because do you know what? God wants us to have confidence. And so standing there at the party, Nick and Johan and all the people, was al die trans party mense wat oor die naweek was? Wil julle gou opstaan? Is hulle bank nie kerk nie en hulle het niks geslaap laas nag nie, maar daar is so 20 van hulle missing. Let's give them a round of applause, you know, they... Thanks, guys and ladies. But you know, standing there and there's about 6,000 people running up and down and people just doing lots of stuff and weird stuff and things are happening and you can just stand there in the peace of God. And then the people come to you and they're seeking God and you can say, well, this is who God is. I know God. I know him. And there's a security and a confidence in the midst of the darkest place of area or wherever you can be. Now I'm going to tell you another story. Stefan, where is Stefan? I saw him at the back there somewhere. We went to India 3 or 4 years ago. And so India is a different country. You know, they eat curry all the time, you know. And so what we were doing, we were going to fly to the east coast of India to meet up with the team there. And now we get into, but you know, it's different there. It's not like us, you know, you must praise God for mango and Kalula and all that stuff. No, they've got spice jet. Okay, they just feed you curry and all these weird stuff that you don't actually want to eat. So, but what they do is they don't book your seat. They overbook the plane. So you stand there in the queues. Everybody, the whole crowd is standing and then the doors are going to open up. And then there's about 300 meters to the plane and you must run to the plane. First come, first serve. Rest, stay behind, you know. Catch the next plane in 3 weeks' time and welcome to your destination. But in any case, so here we run. We get onto the plane and they don't switch the plane on and not the aircon in the plane as well because it's about 47 degrees in Hyderabad. So now you're sitting there and you are sweating. Sweating for Jesus, sweating for Jesus. Now that's the only thing that comes to mind in those times. So here we're sitting right at the back and we're thinking about what a wonderful time and what a wonderful sweat we're breaking out. And the next moment says this little lady, she says, could you please evacuate the plane right now because there's fuel gushing out of the bottom of the plane. Fuel gushing out of the bottom of the plane. So now you must think of the stampede to get out of the plane. Yeah, and we're sitting right at the back. Hallelujah, walking on water, eh? Walking on chairs. Right to the front. But so now here we're out. We haven't got a clue. And now these 300 people, we must get, you know, because we must fly to another place and then we must meet people and then drive. So everything is delayed. Everything is not like at time, on time. And we're just thinking we're going to miss it. And now we're standing there and everybody's pushing. Now there's this little room. And all the Indians, and I love Indians, but they smell like curry. Everything smells like curry. Hulle los winde ook soos curry. Everything is just curry, you know. So now I tell Stefan, you know, you pray at the back there. And everybody's like pushing because they are these two little tables in the little office, it's very small, and all 300 Indians are pushing to get to these two tables in front where they need to find out when is the next flight, but there's no announcement system, nothing, you know. So I say to him, pray, I'm going to go in, you know. If I don't come out, see you in heaven. Okay. So here we go in, and I push, and I push, because I'm big in India, hallelujah. It's great for me to be in India. Why are you laughing? I'm one of the tallest guys in India. You haven't seen my angel yet, eh? He's very big. But so in the end, after about a half an hour of pushing and Stefan praying there at the back, I get right to the front. And fortunately, I've got his ticket and his passport. And I'm standing there and I'm tired and I've sweated and we're there for like 2 hours. And we stand at the table and I'm thinking, what am I going to ask? And now everybody's screaming and everybody's just going like, everybody just wants to get home and get to their destination. The next moment, the phone rings. And this guy picks up the phone. And it's somebody that says, and then he looks up and he says, the first 5 tickets that I get will sleep in a hotel tonight. The rest must wait in the airport. So right there at that moment when I'm there at the table, we get a 5-star hotel taxi driving in India. Now that is a miracle. Some of you have never been to India, but you don't want to sleep on the airport. But here we go. They even made burgers for us. And, you know, in this a la carte restaurant that you just get curry, they made burgers for us and chips, you know. But we had a wonderful time. And it's not by coincidence that we as the children of God were right, I was standing right in front and that phone call came through. Would you say amen there? Because do you know what? God knows everything. And He always provides for us. But more than that, God calls us. And especially if you're doing His will and you're obedient to His will, God will make the whole earth turn around, because He makes it turn around in any case. But He'll make the whole earth stand still to perform His will in your life. And this is what He wanted to teach these disciples. Because I want to say to every first year and every person here, there is a calling of God on your life. It's not just to be an accountant. It's not just to be an engineer, to have a degree. That is great. It's not to drive a fancy car. Maybe God is going to bless you with that. But God is in the overcoming business. And He calls us to experience Him because He's alive. Can I tell you another story, a quick story? When I was just at varsity, it was still at school. You know, I struggle a lot with depression. Or just that one year. I don't know why, but there was lots of stuff. And it was probably because we were like fanatic for Jesus at school. That I was at Paul Boisai, and we would go during the breaks, we would tackle the guys and we would preach the gospel and we would just like go wild, you know. But we didn't have a covering, we didn't have a family like we have here, where people pray for you and they look out for you. So we were just like doing all these wild stuff for God. But you know what? So I struck a bit of a depression in such a way that I couldn't even wake up in the mornings. It was like very tense. And then one morning, I went to the farm, stayed on the farm. At Caledon on my dad's farm, and they went to town, and that morning about 11 o'clock I couldn't get out of bed. I felt like I'm going to die. If some of you experienced depression before a little bit, you can't explain to somebody unless you've experienced it. It's like hectic. You just cannot get yourself out of bed. You just cannot think straight. But that morning the Lord said to me, when I call you, I will enable you. And I'll never forget it. It changed my life. Maybe you're going to say, well, it didn't happen. I tell you it happened because I was there. You weren't. So, but what happened, I went out to the stoop and we had this massive valley. And there was, and I just read the story of Elijah and 1 Kings and God telling him, God giving him some stuff to do. And then what happened is I was just standing on the stoop and I felt depressed and it was like 11:30 or something. And then the next moment, a cloud appeared like a fist of a man's hand. And this cloud started to move. And you know what? Then a white bird, flew out of that cloud. It was right in the center of my vision. It came flying right to me. And it just felt like an hour. Because as this thing was flying, I just felt the peace of God come over me. It's like God delivered me of stuff. God set me free of stuff right there. And then this bird was just flying and flying and flying. And I was thinking, well, am I mad? What's happening here? And the next moment, as this bird came closer, it just shot up straight into the air. And then it started to rain. But you know, it wasn't rain out of clouds. It was clear blue sky. And it started to rain. And it started to rain. And I'll never forget it. I broke down. I lied there on the grass. And I was weeping for about an hour. God set me free in 1 minute. And it just rained and it rained and there was just clear blue sky. Hello. Because, you know, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I want to say to you that even tonight and in this week, God calls you to come and serve Him. God calls you to a relationship with Him. But you must step out of that fear. You must step out of the place of comfort. You must step out of the place of peer pressure. Because when you stand before Jesus and He calls you by name, there's nothing like that in this world. Will you stand with me tonight? We're going to sing a song. Just the chorus of the song. Before the arrows come, and then we're going to have a great party. You see, because this God that we serve, He's still the same God. The same Jesus that walked on the face of the earth, He's here tonight. The same Jesus that healed people and delivered people and set them free, He's here tonight. And there's nothing too big for Him. There's nothing too great for Him. There's nothing. He's God. And He cannot change Himself. And yet He humbled Himself to come to 12 ordinary people on earth to tell them that they're valuable. To tell them that He actually wants them to be involved in His big, massive plan called His purpose. And that's why He would teach them many things through just putting a coin in a fish mouth, or walking on water, or calming the storms, or catching masses of fish. Because He wanted to teach them something. There's something when you connect with God. There's a partnership that you can have with God. But it comes and born out of a relationship. And that's what Peter did. Peter saw Jesus. Peter could recognize Jesus. In the midst of the storm, he knew who Jesus was. And he said, Jesus, Jesus, I'm not going to just jump. I'm not going to be emotional. But what I am going to do, if you call me, if you tell me, I must come. Just come on. Don't give me 20 promises. Don't, you know, just come on me. Just tell me to come. I'm going to come. And you know what? Tonight you can do exactly the same. Jesus, I want to come. Jesus, I want to have you. Jesus is not just the Savior tonight, but He's also the healer. He's the one who delivers. I should have been dead 3 times. And God saved me. I should have been lame in my whole side on the one side. And God saved me. I couldn't speak properly. I stuttered. That's why I went to school a year later. I couldn't speak in front of 3 people. Today, the fact that I'm speaking to you is a miracle. You may deny that. But heaven doesn't. Because that Jesus, that same Jesus, is here to save you tonight. That same Jesus wants to call you. But you must get out of your comfort zone. Stop playing career. Trying to do something for Him or trying to have these massive standards. Just come. Just surrender. Just say, God, I think I'm going to sink. God, I'm not going to make it. God, I'm going to die. But Lord, one thing I know, I don't want to sit in this boat anymore. So there you go. You see, God has been moving. God is already. But are you willing to trust Him with your life? Because you're not supposed to live and have an overcoming life. You cannot without God. Hello? So I want us to close our eyes tonight, because before we're going to have this massive party and we're going to sing together and we're going to jump up and down and we're going to have a head banging and all of that stuff. It's great. There's a call from heaven, from a Savior that loves you. And He's saying, before we go on, I've called you by name. I want to have a relationship with you. But are you willing? And God sometimes speaks in commands. He doesn't say, well, go and do it at home because there you're going to feel more comfortable and all of that stuff. No, God is, Jesus died on the cross openly. But tonight, if you are here and you've been frustrated, you've been thinking, why am I here? I want more in my life. I'm going to study here, but I want to taste the ability to overcome. I want to see God move in ways like I've never seen before. And I can't tell you, every day I see God move in ways that He just rescues people from the pit of hell. Just in this week, we were jogging and there was a guy on his way to commit suicide. In a car sitting, and we're jogging past him. You can ask Cornell and these guys that jog with me. I jogged with them. Try to jog with him. And as we're jogging, the Holy Spirit is saying, stop. And we stop. Turn around, go to the car. And yes, it's this guy with his beers and his cigarettes. And there's a big security guy. And I said to him, well, can we pray for you? He looks at me like, pray? I said, because God showed me that there's a bridge in your life that has collapsed. It's destroyed. And He loves you. This next moment, asked him. This big man starts to cry and weep. Later he said to me, I was on the way to drive my car over the cliff. And then God intervened. That same God wants to rescue you tonight. And then He wants you to taste of His goodness. He wants you to taste in this university life. And it's not about church. It's about that taste of having relationship with an almighty God. Tonight, if that's you, will you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm speaking to you tonight. Maybe you're here and you've never had a sense of calling in your life. You're going through life, you're jumping around from one thing to another, from one church even to another, and you're doing lots of stuff even for God. But you've never stood before Jesus and you heard the call from God. While every eye is closed and believers are prayed, I want you to lift your hand very high. Say, that's me tonight. And don't be shy. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Raise your hand very high. Don't look around. Tonight it's about eternity. Tonight it's about connecting with God. Because Jesus is walking on the water and He's coming to call you by name. He knows every detail of your life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that hand at the back. Anybody else? Just quickly tonight. Because tonight it's about salvation. It's about meeting with that Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's inviting you. But you must tell Him, Jesus, call me. Jesus, I want to come. Jesus, come. And He's going to do that. Anybody else? Just raise your hand very high. Say, that's me tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Don't think about the people next to you. They can't do anything for you. It's only Jesus that loves you and has died for you on the cross. And that's why He's here tonight. So if you know of that call, you want to look Jesus in the eyes and you want to have a fullness of relationship with Him, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold, because you are the most amazing people, because He died for you. I want you to step out from where you are and I want you to come and stand right here in front. I know you're going to die 1,000 deaths. This is now really like getting out of the boat. Won't you come quickly? Just move quickly. Just come on. Hallelujah, Jesus! Woo! Kijk, ze mag even mij. There's some more people that raise their hands. I want you to come quickly. If you're a bit shy, take somebody's hand. Vat iemand's hand and say, ek moet al voor wees. Maar my bene wil my nie op die water dra nie. Just quickly come. If that's you tonight, you know that you must be in front. That you want a relationship with God. Won't you come quickly? Just move right to the front. This is not about pressure. This is just about a call of God on your life. Let's pray a simple prayer. And all we're going to do, we're going to ask God. We're going to say, God, here I am. I'm letting go of control in my life. I mean, will you do that? Here, ek gee beheer oor. I give over control to you. Let's just pray. Lord, all pray together. Lord, here I am. Getting out of the boat of my life and the comfort even of my own sin and of being in control. But tonight, Jesus, you've called me, and I come to you as you have already come to me. Wash me clean tonight by your blood. Forgive me, Lord, of trying to save myself. But here I am. I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender all. Take control. Thank you for eternal life. Now I can step into a relationship with you and taste your overcoming power in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's just give God a shout in this place. What's your name? Leslie? Leslie, do you know what? That God loves you so much. Do you know what? All the fears and all the pressures that you have had in your life, tonight it's gone. Do you feel something change there? Yeah? And all the shame and all the guilt and all that stuff, Jesus has washed you clean. Did you know that? And you're precious to Him. All of you. God loves you so much. Hey? What's your name? Siobhan. That's a beautiful name. What's your name? Lundy. Hello, Lundy. What's your name? Marika. Hello, Marika. Ian. Hello, Ian. Andrew. Andrew. Hi. Rian. Hello, Rian. Yes, you had a mooi smile, Rian. Hello. Yes, can see you had your tanden geborstel vandaag. Willem. Philip. Hello, Philip. Lizan. Liesel. Liesel. Hello, Christel. Weet julle hoe kostbaar is julle vir God? You are so precious to God. Krishna. Hello, Krishna. Sam. Wonga. What does that mean? Overcomer. Something like that. Okay, yeah. Cindy. Hello, Cindy. Aiden. Hello, Aiden. Samkelo. What does that mean, Samkelo? Welcome gift. God has welcomed you tonight as a gift, and we'll welcome you into the family of God. Who? Mantlagashe. What does that mean? Powerful. Yo, I can feel it in your handshake, eh? Yeah, say, I know you. All right. Lindy, hello, Lindy. Is there somebody we haven't created yet? What's your guy's name? Loki. Hello, Loki. Sean, hello, Sean. There's somebody that's going to pray quickly with you. Is that all right? Just for 5 minutes on that side. Just turn to that side. Somebody behind you that's going to pray with you. We're going to be long here with the arrows, so you're not going to miss anything. Okay. So welcome. Let's just give them a welcome. You're beautiful to God. Will you stand as we're going to just... Yeah, they're beautiful people. Amen. Will you just stand? They're going to just be away for 3 minutes. Now the party is starting, eh? Okay. Can you go like this? Okay. Just... Can you go like this? Just do that. And we just need to warm up because... What's about to happen, especially people over 30, not me. You better be warming up because you can hurt something, okay? We really want to invite you as we're just going to sing that chorus. Let's just for a moment. If you're confused, if you've lost peace, just for a moment, before we're going to jump up and down, I want you to close your eyes. And we're going to do a statement, a prophetic statement through this little chorus. Just saying, Jesus, this year, be the center of my life. So that even in the midst of storm or whatever happens, you'll always recognize Him come walking to you on the water. Because He's always there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And right at the end, once we finish jumping up and down and all this stuff, we're going to give you an opportunity just to pray for you. If you're lonely, if you're afraid, we'd love to pray for you. If you're confused, if you're at the right place tonight. Because we're not together people having connected and knows. We don't know everything. But one thing we know is we're in a relationship with a God that is eternal. He knows everything. And we can trust Him. So let's just sing that just for a moment.